So today we want to consider, where are we on fracking for natural gas? The Great Northern Paper Company factory in East Millinocket, Maine, says it's reopened and is now competitive after switching from oil to the much cheaper natural gas produced by fracking. In some towns in West Texas, home builders are struggling to keep up with demand as workers pour in to build and run drilling rigs. Fracking is the technology behind the boom, and on Monday, the EPA reported that fracking releases less methane than previously thought. It still releases some. And what about water pollution? Water from faucets exploding because gas had gotten into groundwater. Fracking is also cutting into the water supply in drought-stricken Texas. So we want to get a snapshot with Abram Lustgarten of ProPublica. He's in the studios of the Journalism School at UC Berkeley. Abram, the economic benefits of fracking are apparent, but what is the latest thinking on the environmental costs?
We have no more clarity today about the extent of the environmental problems associated with gas drilling than we had a couple of years ago. There are now hundreds and hundreds of reports out of every corner of the country where gas is being drilled about environmental impacts, some proven, some still alleged, but impacts to water quality, impacts to private wells, as you mentioned, flammable water coming out of some people's taps, vast air pollution, and now a growing concern and question in the health community, about what the health impacts to exposure to these chemicals and to these emissions might be over the long term. There's more research coming out on each of these points, and they certainly don't absolve the industry. They do raise more questions about the risks going forward. So it's really still an open question on the table that, how these external impacts should and do factor into, the other goals that we're talking about, like the economic progress, the energy independence that comes with producing more energy here.
The process involves shooting tons of water down into this rock, along with chemicals. It's gotten into other water sources. It also has a flow back. I mean, explain why there are questions about fracking.
The process, as you've summarized, is somewhat destructive. The intention is to pump fluids, including chemicals, underground at such a high force that it breaks apart the ground and lets the gas flow out. In many cases, much of those chemicals and fluids remain underground, and there's unresolved questions about where they go and whether they can seep into aquifers that supply drinking water. There's also huge questions about what happens with the waste stream that's produced through this process, and it's becoming a really significant byproduct issue of this natural gas debate. Waste is typically just injected back underground in hundreds of thousands of wells that dot the United States. In some cases, it is an old natural gas well or an old oil well that's been converted. The pressure is supposed to be carefully controlled so that that waste can't migrate into drinking water supplies. But there's been a whole lot of cases where those contaminants are, in fact, leaking.
These are these huge disposal wells. Describe, for instance, Texas, how the disposal wells work there and how many there are.
Well, there's some 50,000 disposal wells in the state of Texas of various types. The waste is simply pumped underground at as much pressure as the earth will absorb so that you can fit as much of it down there as possible. In most cases after that, it's not monitored. It's never tracked to see where it goes or if it leaks. And it's not even really clearly recorded what exactly is put into the well. So if there happens to be contamination or water problems that crop up nearby, it can be very difficult to link the cause and the effect.
Well, it sounds amazing. Here's a quote from the Texas Tribune, that on average, companies in Texas dispose 290 million barrels of wastewater every month. That's about 18,500 Olympic-sized swimming pools every month. Someone else is quoted as saying, "We've been drilled up like crazy out here." Is there any sense that it's almost too much?
Yeah, there is a growing sense, especially within the Environmental Protection Agency, the federal agency that's tasked with trying to get a grasp of this nationally. I mean, Texas is just one example. And what's scariest is at the federal level, there's really no accounting of how many disposal wells there are, exactly where they are, and what's been going into them. And in my research, knowledge about what's happening on the state level can vary greatly. Other states like California, I've found, have almost no accounting at all. There's a discrepancy about how many wells even exist, let alone where they are.
In some cases, the fracking process, which is shooting the water down underground to the rock, might come bursting up half a mile away out of one of these abandoned oil wells that somebody didn't know was there.
I looked at something very similar to that, several cases in Texas where the waste being injected into the disposal well did migrate and then shoot back up, coming up to the surface in a rancher's property. Actually, in California, in Los Angeles, in a dog park. You know, all this sort of flies in the face of the conventional wisdom in the geology field that says that the, you know, deep geology will trap these fluids.
Well, I'm sure, though, that fracking and natural gas backers would say better this kind of waste than, say, nuclear waste, which is being trucked around the country on train cars because people don't know what to do with it. But, you know, how do they defend it?
Well, they certainly do say that. They defend it by pointing to our need to produce the energy and our insatiable demand for energy. And certainly there's a practical side of this equation. You know, I don't talk to a lot of people who would suggest that we don't do this process at all or that we don't have any of this waste. You know, but then you get into questions of, you know, how could you minimize the waste? Are there ways to recycle the fluids, which is starting to happen in some places? And then as far as the drilling and the fracking goes, there's a very robust discussion now about how possibly tightened regulations could make the process safer. There's a whole set of federal rules under the Safe Drinking Water Act that apply to disposal wells, for example, to try to make those wells safe. But they don't apply to fracking, which is an almost identical process. And, you know, there's various government studies that are slowly mulling this over. The net result might be that in a year or 3 years, you might see enhanced regulation, which can make this whole process a whole lot safer.
Yeah. Well, meantime, backers might also say that power plant emissions are dropping because of the fracking that led to the natural gas powering these plants instead of, say, more coal being burned?
They do say that, and there's some truth to that. It's a very interesting dynamic in terms of air quality and greenhouse gas emissions right now. There's been a substantial drop in greenhouse gas emissions measured to come from our electrical producing plants. Plants that typically have burned coal are now burning less coal and are burning more natural gas. There's a number of studies that are pointing to quite significant percentages of raw methane, which is what natural gas is, escaping. And methane is an extraordinarily potent greenhouse gas and measures into the climate warming formula a little bit differently than carbon dioxide. And so there's a lot of research being done now and a lot of unanswered questions about whether the amount of gas that leaks in the drilling process is enough to offset the benefits of burning gas at the power plants. So that, too, is a very sort of muddy area with great potential for solution if the drilling processes can be cleaned up, but still not a solved problem.
That's ProPublica reporter Abraham Lustgarten, who's made fracking and drilling his beat. He'll be back in a minute. And we want to ask him about a move towards waterless fracking, especially in very dry states where fracking is using up some water. We also have some news about fracking out of New York State just in. We'll have that for you. And more in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're talking about the fracking boom in much of the country with ProPublica reporter Abraham Lustgarten. Supporters say it's boosting the economy, and in many places it is. But critics are calling for a moratorium to get definitive research on fracking's impact on the environment. And Abraham, stay there, because fracking is water intense. We read that up to 10 million gallons of water can go into a single well to do this drilling. But we understand that water-free fracking is catching on in Texas. Tell us about that.
You know, from the start, you know, the water demands of fracking has been a central issue. And I think we're seeing today that the issue is coming full circle and coming back to the question of, you know, is there enough water to support the amount of drilling and fracking that we're doing? And is there enough water to support the amount of waste that we're discarding and planning to never use again? One of, you know, several best practices or experimental practices is the idea of using gas to frack wells rather than water.
It just automatically sounds very dangerous.
Sure, but they would use, a liquid gas, and then it just gets mixed up with the gas that you're extracting, so you don't have these residual chemicals. It's not a practice that's being widely used yet. I think it's being experimented with in Texas, especially because Texas is one of the most water-constrained regions in the country. It's also not clear that this gas frack has all of the environmental benefits, that some of its proponents would claim. You know, it's still fracturing the ground. There's still that potential for sending chemical additives, into water supplies.
Yeah. And we understand another driller is using, is it called guar? It's something that thickens ice cream? What is that process?
I think they're referring to guar gum. It's one of the ingredients for most typical fracking that we're familiar with. It's one of those chemical additives. You know, this is the thing that the drilling industry has pointed to repeatedly when critics express concern over, you know, the chemicals that go into the fracking process. They point to guar gum as saying, well, this is something that people eat, so how dangerous can it be? It's in your chewing gum. It's in your ice cream. But again, it's one component of a larger process.
We read that scientists in Texas have drawn a direct line between the disposal of this waste that comes after fracking, these, you know, tons of water, and earthquakes.
Scientists in Texas and elsewhere have drawn a direct connection between the injection of liquid waste underground and earthquakes. It's still a little unclear whether the fracking process per se, the time when pressure is increased to actually break the rock, whether that causes earthquakes. The consensus in the research is that it's the fluid produced from that process that leads to earthquakes. So still a lot of questions on that note as well.
Well, and we talked about people who claim that natural gas is boosting industry here, allowing factories to reopen because it's cheaper. Here's a headline from the Washington Post. European industry flocking to the U.S. to take advantage of cheaper gas. But what about selling it? We have tankers sitting in the harbor here in Boston idle. What about selling the gas?
Yeah, well, there is an increasing push to export the large amount of natural gas that's being produced in the United States. You know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, the thinking was that the U.S. would be importing its natural gas from Russia, from places like Sakhalin Island, and a lot of these plants, including yours in Boston, were designed to accept, you know, that liquefied natural gas and then send it out. Now there's a push to reverse that process. Plants along the East Coast, along the Gulf Coast, even in Oregon, are being considered as facilities that would take natural gas produced in the United States, liquefy it, and ship it overseas.
What do you think is going to happen going forward? You have states like New York considering whether to allow it. They see these headlines, you know, factories opening, communities rebounding, the cost of natural gas much lower than oil. What do you think New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's expected to decide soon on whether to allow fracking in upstate New York, what do you think he's going to decide?
Anybody's guess. He's wavered notoriously, you know, on this issue for years now. And, you know, I think the best analysis might be that he hopes to get through his current term in office without making a decision. I think it's hard to resist the momentum of gas drilling, whether it's in New York or Pennsylvania or across the country. The economic benefits are significant. Where the Cuomo administration and New York State, you know, have been leaders is in at least considering what the environmental costs and other societal costs might be and whether they're economically significant or important enough to the population of the state of New York to offset those other benefits. I mean, that's really the critical decision. You know, I expect that slowly in the future, some kind of rational middle ground will be found where some limited development is allowed under very strict circumstances and perhaps with more protective regulations that can let some of this economic benefit happen while minimizing the kind of impact that we've seen in Texas or in Pennsylvania and elsewhere.
And where else are you watching communities make this decision?
Well, you know, California is going to be the next hot spot. The Monterey Shale is predicted to be the largest oil deposit, actually, in the United States, or at least largest recent find. There's a rush to lease now for both oil and gas. So I think you're going to start seeing both the controversy and the opposition to fracking grow in California, and also a lot of the intensity and action and new drilling shift that way in the coming years as well.
You also say Michigan, Illinois, North Carolina, states are talking about drilling. North Dakota, of course, joins Pennsylvania, Texas, just having at it. Again, just do us a favor. Just line up quickly the columns, pro, con.
Well, let's take the pros first. Gas burns cleaner when it's burned to produce electricity at the power plant. It is, you know, an abundant local resource. And as you've mentioned, its low prices have led to expanding industry, more industrial manufacturing, and all of the jobs and economy that goes with that. The cons are, one, that there's reason to be concerned about what happens when you inject waste and chemicals and toxic byproducts into the ground. There's also real questions about what happens when you take drilling, which is a landscape scale industrial process. It doesn't happen just in one place. It happens over an entire region. And you have that activity, which leads to increased air emissions, air pollution on a local level, and eventually cumulatively on a national level, that's going to have some kind of impact, still undefined, on public health.
Abram Lustgarten, he covers the natural gas industry for ProPublica. Abram, thanks for this snapshot.
Thanks for having me.
And while the governor of New York is still deciding whether the state will allow fracking, the Rochester Democrat and Republican is reporting that just today, an appeals court dealt a blow to the industry, ruling that local governments can ban fracking. We will, of course, continue to follow this story here and now. Latest news is next.